Thank you, Miss Jen, and thank you, kids, for being a part of it. We appreciate that. Good story. Today is the last part of this series of the gift of Jesus' birth. As we finish on Christmas Day, we've looked at how the gift of Jesus' birth gave us a hope, a redeemer, gave us a purpose, and today we're focusing on how His birth gave us a Savior, a Savior. And for today's Christmas morning reading, I'd like to ask Mr. Daniel Lowe, would you please come up and read, please? Thank you. Where did the mic, where'd you put the mic?
I'm sorry, I turned it off.
Where is it?
It's right there.
This one? Okay.
Oh.
Oh. And try that.
Hello. Good morning, church. I'll be reading from Luke 2, 1 to 20. Please stand with me. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up to Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judah, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, their days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in a swaddling cloth, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room left for him in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord had made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. All those who heard it marveled at those things which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them. Thank you. You may be seated.
Thank you, Daniel. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the message of the birth of Christ, and I pray, Lord, that we would understand better this morning what it means that you sent a Savior to us. Lord, I pray for anybody who maybe doesn't understand who the Savior is, why Jesus came, what he came to do. I pray, Lord, that you would reveal yourself to them. Draw them to Jesus, Lord. Draw them to the Savior. Lord, fill us with wonder and awe, just like the shepherds had at that time when the angels announced the birth of the Christ to them. May we have that same kind of reverence and awe in us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Jesus' birth gave us a Savior. By the way, I didn't get a chance, but I just wanted to say that young people special was very good with the on the chimes and the choir group singing and the guys playing their music. Wonderful job. It's really beautiful to see them using their talents and gifts for the Lord. Amen? Amen? That was great. I read a long, long time ago, and maybe you've heard this too. I don't know who wrote this, but I read, if our greatest need had been for information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness. And so God sent us a Savior. He sent us what we need. This, my friends, is good news. Sometimes we may not appreciate good news unless it's with the backdrop of bad news. That's the truth. Sometimes we don't understand and appreciate good news unless we have had a while of some bad news. The coming of Christ is perhaps some of the best news, or the best news that we will ever have, that we will ever hear. And if you've heard it perhaps 1,000 times, you may be tempted, even right now, to just kind of tune it out and just start wondering, I wonder what's for lunch today. I'm looking forward to that. I want to focus on one verse that brings us to the heart of Christmas. Let's focus on one verse this morning. That verse is verse number 11. The angel says, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. A Savior who is Christ the Lord. There's a few parts, four parts to this verse that stand out. First of all, let's look at the prophecy of his coming. It says, born to you this day in the city of David. The city of David, Jerusalem is usually referred to as the city of David. David was one of their greatest kings. And Jerusalem itself has been called the city of David. But in this instance, it says it's Bethlehem. Bethlehem is south of Jerusalem, just about 8 to 10 kilometers, I believe. A number of us here at the church were in Bethlehem in 2019. Do you remember? We went there. It's a small town. It's not a huge place. And it's an Arab town under Palestinian control today. There's a historical church in Bethlehem, and it's built on top of the traditional site of Jesus' birth. This church was constructed some 1,700 years ago, and it's been remodeled and rebuilt and restored many times in those centuries since then. Interesting, we sang a song a little while ago. That song was called, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Remember? O little town of Bethlehem, the year was 1865, and there was a pastor in America, in Boston on the East Coast, named Philip Brooks. And this pastor went and visited Bethlehem. And in 1865, it was still a very small village even then. And this pastor returned, and he wrote a song that we still sing today. And that song is, O little town of Bethlehem. He wanted, when he got back home, he wanted this choir director in his church to put together the words to the music, the music to the words that he had written, O little town. And they were going to use it that year for their Christmas special, their Christmas production. And the guy who was in charge of the choir director, he was having a hard time putting together the words. And even on the Saturday night before they were doing rehearsals and gathering the choir together to go over this song, O Little Town of Bethlehem, he still hadn't had the music put down. And then in the night, he says he suddenly got an inspiration and he wrote down the music. And even on the way to church in the morning, he finished putting together the music to hand to the pastor for the practice, getting ready for this Christmas special. Can you imagine? Neither of them thought that it would be used any time after that again. They were just going to use it one time, and that would be it. And here we are today, still singing their song. Bethlehem, though, is referred to as the city of David here because David was born in this town of Bethlehem. He was born there. 1 Samuel 17 refers to that. In fact, David tended sheep in those hills around the town of Bethlehem as a young boy, perhaps the same hills that the shepherds were when the angel came to see them. Notice the prophecy of Micah. In the book of Micah, chapter number 5, verse 2, it says, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting." Bethlehem, by the way, the name itself means house of bread. And it was likely called Bethlehem, house of bread, because the region was well known to be a grain-producing region. Ephrathah. Ephrathah differentiates this Bethlehem from another Bethlehem near Galilee that had the same name. And so Bethlehem Ephrathah is the Bethlehem that we know of today, just south of Jerusalem. And Micah's prophecy, when he's talking here, when he's writing, what he is saying is this one that's coming, that's going to come from Bethlehem, it could be none other than God, the Son of God himself. None other, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting, eternal. This is only referring to God. And the Jews knew that this is where the Messiah was prophesied to be born. We read in the story that wise men came from the east to seek him. And they asked Herod, "Where is he who was born king of the Jews?" And it's interesting that Herod went and talked to his council, and they came out and they understood where he was going to be born because they knew the prophecies. In Matthew chapter 2, we read, when Herod had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it was written by the prophet." What prophet? Micah. They knew it. They understood. And so it wasn't a secret to them where the Messiah, where the one was to be born. And so we read about this city of David. And we must remember that this prophecy is a fulfillment of that prophecy that was made some 700 years before by the prophet Micah, that the Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem. But remember, it's not always what you know. It's what you do with what you know. All the Jews knew this prophecy. Let's take a look next, though, at the reality of his coming. Look at verse 11 again. "For there is born to you this day in the city of David." Focus on the words "born this day." It's happened. The angel focuses on the fact that what happened that day was the birth of the Son of God. There's a couple of things I want to mention in regards to this. The first thing is simply this, that at his birth, the actual physical birth of the Messiah, there were no miracles mentioned and associated with that physical birth of Christ. We read of the supernatural experience that Mary had when she became pregnant, when she was told that the Holy Spirit would overshadow her, and what would be inside her is conceived of the Holy Spirit. We simply refer to that as the virgin birth of Christ, that Christ had a mother, but his father, this was the uniqueness of Christ, his father was God himself. The babe in the manger was God, but yet he was also fully man at the same time. That's the uniqueness of Jesus Christ. Following this conception, though, Mary's pregnancy continued on its normal course like any mother would expect as well. And when the time came, she had to give birth in the normal way, in the natural way. And it was in a stable in Bethlehem. And if you know the story, it was crowded. There was a census taking place. That's why they went to begin with. There was no place that they could find to stay. And they found some shelter in the back of an inn. And from time to time today, we hear of mothers giving birth in strange places. It happens. It happens. Perhaps in a car, in a shop, on an airplane. Sometimes they're just alone. Sometimes it may be with one very frightened husband who's not sure what to do. But these things happen. These kinds of birth happening in extraordinary circumstances. And Jesus' birth was similar to that. A normal birth with quite abnormal circumstances that they were experiencing. But secondly, we see the phrase, this day, reminds us that this is something that really did happen. The angel was telling them, it's happened. This is real. It happened today. Francis Schaeffer, who is a writer, theologian, he talked of lower story truth and upper story truth. This was his phrases that he referred to. Lower story truth was made up of facts of history, something that happened. Who, what, when, where. Upper story truth refers to things, principles that are drawn out of fables and stories that are made up. Aesop's fables, the Chronicles of Narnia, these kinds of things that, you know, you can read them. They may be good. They may have some good principles in them. And according to Francis Schaeffer, this is the upper story truth, designed to impart a moral or a truth. Some people read Jesus' birth this way. But the gospel writers wanted us to realize and wanted us to know that this is something that had finally, really, truly happened. Jesus was born this day in the city of David, as the prophet foretold. Next, we see the result of this birth. A Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Three important words used here: Savior, Christ, and Lord. Christ is the Greek word equivalent, basically, of the Old Testament Messiah. The same idea, and that is the anointed one. The one who was anointed. And remember, the Messiah was anointed or prophesied and foretold many years prior. In fact, we've seen way back in Genesis 3, the first mention of the one who was to come. The promise of a Savior. Lord is used to refer to his lordship, his rulership. It refers to, in this instance, to his deity. This is God. But I want to focus this morning on the aspect of the Savior. He is the Savior. Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This is why he came, to be the Savior. When the angel was announcing the coming of Jesus to Joseph. If you recall, the angel had visited Mary, said what would happen. When Joseph found out about it, what did he do? He was a bit concerned. He was perhaps a bit upset, confused. He loved her, but he assumed that she was not faithful to him. And he was going to put a stop to the marriage, put her away, not continue. And that's when the angel came to have a word with Joseph. In Matthew 1, we see this in verse 21. And the angel says, and she will bring forth a son. He's talking to Joseph. She will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. He says, you call him Jesus. There's a reason for that. Why? For he's going to save his people from their sins. Jesus. Jesus is the same name as the Old Testament Jehoshua, which we would just refer to as Joshua. Joshua, it means the Lord saves. The Lord saves. And so the angel says, give him this name because it fits why he came. He came to save. The Lord saves. The word Savior is an important word as we examine it. The word Savior or being saved is what I would call a radical word. It has significant meaning to it. It is not just Jesus came to be a teacher or a helper or an inspiration, but to need a Savior is a radical word because it means that there is a desperate need that we have, and unless there's some intervention, we're going to perish. If you could picture somebody out on the ocean and their ship had sunk and they're swimming, they're alone, they're desperate. They can't possibly swim back to shore. And unless somebody comes to rescue them, they are going to die. They are going to perish. They are going to drown. That's this term of save. They need to be saved. And so when we hear of a Savior, we have to understand in this context that we are the ones who are desperate in need to be saved. We are the ones, unless there's intervention on the part of somebody, we're going to die. We're going to perish. And comes Jesus, the Savior of the world. The one that God sent to us, to rescue us, to pull us up, if you would, from the ocean. Except instead of being an ocean, we're talking about sin. We're talking about being lost and dying in sin. God sent a Savior, and that is a radical term. He sent us what we needed. Last night we looked at justice versus mercy. We like the idea of justice. People do wrong, we want them to pay the consequences of doing wrong, be brought to justice. But when it comes to us and God, what we really need is God's mercy. We need His mercy, because if we face His justice, we're all lost. We are all doomed. We need to be saved from God's wrath. We need to be saved. We need God's mercy. He sent us what we needed. Fourthly, we see the purpose. For there is born to you this day. Notice the words to you. To you. At the time that the angel was speaking this, who was he speaking to? Remember? Who was he speaking to? Shepherds. The shepherds out in the fields. He didn't go to King Herod, but he went to the shepherds. Shepherds, that was not the highest level of occupation. It was kind of a rather lowly occupation. These weren't the highest class of people. These weren't the most educated people. But yet we see the angel come to them and say, to you is born a Savior, Christ Jesus the Lord. To you is born. What about those theologians back in Jerusalem, the ones that Herod went to and said, where's this king going to come from? They knew. They knew. And many others also knew. But the angel came to these shepherds and reminded them of the promise and said, he's come. And he's come for you. He's come to save you as well. God came to be the Savior of everyone. The shepherds received this news with joy and thanksgiving. They were so joyful to hear after they got over the shock of it, but they were so joyful to hear, and they had to go and see for themselves, and they worshiped Him because they knew who this was. Let's make a simple application now. The angel said, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." Unto you. He came for you. And this is where Christmas, I believe, becomes very personal. It's not enough to abstractly say, yeah, Jesus came, he was born, but he came for you. He came for me. When it comes to understanding that we need to be saved, you can never be saved until you are able to truly say from your heart that Christ came for me. Christ came for me. He was born for me. He died for me. He rose from the dead for me to be my atonement, to pay for my sin. He's my Savior. Today is Christmas Day. And I imagine many of you last night or even today received some gifts from people. Gifts that from people that care about you. And you opened them excitedly. So you received some gifts. What did you do with them? Well, you had to take them. You had to receive them. And you opened them to see what it was. Do you keep them all wrapped up and never touched? No, that would be a shame. 2,000 years ago, God sent you a gift. God sent us a gift. And this gift was wrapped not in fancy paper and ribbons, but in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. It was a gift, but this gift was a Savior. A Savior. Christ the Lord. But what must you do with this gift? You must receive it. You must receive it. And we do that by faith. We do that by faith when we acknowledge, thank you, God, for giving me this gift. Thank you for sending Jesus for me. Thank you that he died for me, that he rose again for me. I'd like to invite you to stand with me, please. Just one simple passage in here in the Christmas story that the angel spoke. And he reminded them, unto you is born this day in the city of David. It's a fulfillment of the prophecy. It's something that really did take place, and he wanted them to know this and understand it. It was real. It happened. We see the result of the birth, and that was that God gave us what we need. We needed a Savior. That word Savior is a very important word. Without being saved, we're lost. Unless we're saved, we're without hope. Jesus came to save. And we see that purpose. Unto you is born this day. He came for you. Have you trusted him? Have you received him? Have you received that gift? Have you embraced that gift by faith? Have you thanked him for that gift? I know many of you have, but if you're here this morning and you can't say with your heart, I've trusted in Jesus Christ. He's my Savior. He came for me. If you cannot say that, I encourage you and I urge you today, with all of your heart, put your faith in him. This gift of God, this gift of a Savior, trust him today. Thank him for coming for you, for dying for you, and for being raised for you. Would you do that? Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I thank you for this gift of a Savior. Thank you that Jesus' birth gave us this Savior. This is what we needed. For without being saved, we are lost. Without being saved, we are without hope. But we thank you for the Christ. Christ Jesus the Lord. Lord, if there's anybody here who is unsure of their own salvation, I do pray that you are working in that person's heart. that you, Lord, are drawing them to the Savior, to the one that was prophesied, the one who took their sin upon himself and died for them. Lord, I pray that they would trust him, even now, that they would put their faith in him and say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me of all my sin. And I thank you for sending Jesus to die for me. Thank you that he was born as one of us to die in my place, to pay for all of my sin. I thank you in Jesus' name. And we say, amen. Amen. And I do want to just say, go ahead and be seated. If there's anybody here who wants to discuss this with me and say, today I want to trust Jesus, I'm trusting Jesus Christ today, please come and see me after church. Let me know what God is doing in your heart, in your life.